Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're dealing unbelievably with the first day of March, Thursday the 1st of March in the year 2007. A number of interesting news items which we will take a look at this morning. And then Bill Barnstead is going to be on this program, hopefully at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Bill is someone that I found through lourockwell.com. And he is a former head of the Boston Republican Party. And there is a Bill Barnwell archive at lourockwell.com that will enable you to see a little bit more about Bill and some of his writings and where he's coming from and why he has since jettisoned the Republican Party. You know, that's an interesting situation because I made that decision in 1996. I've said before on this show that that was a fateful year for me, because I was a volunteer for Pat Buchanan informally in regard to his campaign in Texas and elsewhere, and went out to San Diego in 1996 for the Republican National Convention. I was not a delegate out there. I had been a delegate to the Texas State Republican Convention. Was not in the running to be an at-large delegate from Texas because I had indicated off the record that I would not vote for Bob Dole in San Diego under any circumstances. And so that left me as a participant only in some private gatherings and parties that Mr. Buchanan had put on for some of his volunteers and supporters in both San Diego and Escondido. And I felt that after that whole situation was over with out in San Diego, that it was time for me to take a look at Howard Phillips' party, that in those days was known as the U.S. Taxpayers' Party. So I attended some of Howard's sessions out there at Coronado Island in the old wooden hotel there, the Hotel del Coronado, the oldest wooden hotel in the United States, I understand, and made the determination in 1996 that I was finished with the Republican Party and finished there for a variety of reasons. One is that I felt the Republican Party was doing nothing about the New World Order, that it was a full participant in it, that the Republican Party was doing nothing about the hijacking of the foreign policy of the United States on the part of both Israel as well as the corporate American lobby, that the Republican Party was doing nothing about illegal immigration, that it could really care less about the actual size and growth of government at the federal level as well as other levels, and that the Republican Party had basically jettisoned any of the things that were repeated in its platform in San Diego that year. And lo and behold, here we are over 10 years later. We're moving up on, 11 years this coming August since that convention was held. Now we're going to be talking to a guy at 8 o'clock who is the former head of the Boston Republican Party, Bill Barnwell, who has finally decided that it was time to get out of the Republican Party himself. Where does that leave people in our situation? I'm not precisely sure, but we'll see how it plays out in the months ahead. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be looking at several of yesterday's guests, talking a little bit about some of their ideas and some news stories. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge.
Yeehaw!
That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information.
Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Back. This is Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we want again to greet our new conventional affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis that's going to be carrying Mark Dancos, America, and RBN throughout the American South. So we greet WMQM AM 1600 and hope to hear a lot of good things from them and do a lot of good things with them. In the days and weeks and months that may lie ahead. We hope we've got months left, folks. Sometimes you look at the things that are going on in the world and you wonder just how much time is left in linear history. That's obviously for God to determine. And since I'm clearly not God, I don't know. I know what the Bible teaches about the end of time, and I do believe in a literal bodily coming of Jesus Christ at the end of history. But beyond that, I know nothing else, certainly, because no man knows the hour save the Father. That's straight from Jesus Christ. And therefore, since I believe in Jesus Christ, I will trust that only God the Father knows as to the timing of the second coming. But you look at the things going on in the world, and it's certainly suggestive of the kinds of conditions that are indicated in the Olivet Discourse and elsewhere in the New Testament. And it seems that day by day, just looking at the secular news media, that a lot of things that we've been talking about at RBN for a long time, some of the things I've been writing about in my at my website, markdankoff.com, in recent years, and a lot of the things that have been circulating in the responsible paleoconservative press in the last 5 or 6 years are all coming home to roost, as it seems that now some of the things that we were pilloried as being crackpots for speaking about in the wake of 9/11 are now winding their way into the front pages of places like the Washington Post and the Financial Times of London and the Wall Street Journal and the major news networks. So it's clear what's happening, and we just have to keep an eye on it in the days ahead. Wanted to put in a plug again for a show that's coming up on RBN on Saturday. That's going to be a regular show, and it's not my show. But it's one that's going to be an outstanding addition to RBN, and that's Dr. Hesham Talawi's program, which is going to begin for the Republic Broadcasting Network on Saturday. That's from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time on Saturday, and that's at 5050 on your shortwave dial. That's going to be Hesham Talawi from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. I assume both through RBN's live worldwide web capability as well as at 5050 on your shortwave dial. He's going to be talking about all kinds of things, I trust, that will be similar to the sorts of issues that he covers at currentissues.tv. A couple of weeks ago, I was on currentissues.tv talking about Christian Zionism with Dr. Hesham Talawi, and I understand that you can now find that 56-minute interview complete with the visual by checking out currentissues.tv, and I guess they have some sort of a stream up and running with Google where you can view that entire program. But suffice it to say that Dr. Hesham Talawi is quite a guy and is giving you and me all kinds of insight in regard to the Middle East that needs to be looked at very, very closely in the days ahead. I know in the most current currentissues.tv television show, Hesham had a couple of things that he was discussing. In the first hour, he had an interview with an ex-33rd degree Illuminati who was exposing Freemasonry. I've not yet seen that show, but I plan on looking at it. This involves a gentleman by the name of Leo Lion Zagami. I do not know Leo and have not had an opportunity to be exposed to any of his work or research, but I have a particular interest in this because I need to expand my knowledge, not as a participant, obviously, but as an interested, discerning person in this whole business of secret societies. You know, I happen to be an Orthodox Lutheran pastor, and Orthodox Lutheran pastors and lay people are not to be involved in secret societies, and that includes Freemasonry. So if someone tells you, for example, that he or she is an Orthodox Evangelical Lutheran, and they're wearing a Masonic ring or have some Masonic emblem on their car or whatever, there's a very serious contradiction there that needs to be looked at more closely. And it seems to me that in regard to free societies, or in regard to secret societies, that Freemasonry is one of the most key ones that comes up constantly in regard to all kinds of things that are alleged to have gone on in history and in the history of the United States as well as globally in regard to the secret invisible hands that manipulate world events. That's a fascinating topic. It seems to me that we need some additional light shed on that whole subject. And in the days ahead, I want to take a look at Dr. Hesham Talawi's interview with his ex-33rd degree Illuminati by the name of Leo Zion Zagami to understand more about what all is involved in this whole business of Freemasonry. My friend Bahman Nasiri, the so-called Golden Mask, you can find him at spyweb.us. I believe that that's Bahman's website. He has been on this show in the past. He is from Iran. He now resides in California. He was very much involved in being in the middle of the hailstorm that was involved when the Pahlavi regime was overthrown in Iran and replaced by the Islamic Republic in Iran regime in Tehran. And the Bahman Nasiri has believed for years, and if you look at his website, it's spyweb.us, you'll discover that both in terms of the Golden Mask, which is the name of his site, and a Hollywood picture, which is being made about a young man and young woman whose lives are caught up in the Islamic Revolution of the late 1970s, that movie will be called The Golden Veil, by the way, that in both instances, it's clear that Bahman Nasiri believes that Freemasonry played an integral role in the overthrow of the Shah of Iran. Now, Bahman is my primary source on this. Again, I am anything but an expert in that situation, meaning the Islamic Revolution in Iran and these allegations that Freemasons were involved in that, or free Masonic activities elsewhere. I'm simply a relative newcomer to delving into that whole thing more deeply. And again, as I've mentioned before on this show, whether it comes to someone like Leo Lion Sagami, who's recently been on Hesham Talawi's show, or it involves somebody else who is an acknowledged expert in this area, I want to dig more deeply into this in the days ahead, because I have a feeling that this would go a long way toward giving us some additional understanding, you and me, in regard to the secret forces that manipulate world events and that control newspapers and mainstream media outlets that want us to perceive something about the present or the past or the future that may have no correspondence at all to reality. And that's, again, looking at the things that have happened just since September the 11th, 2001, it seems to me that we are looking at a time when there needs to be more discernment than ever about what we believe, what we perceive, and what it is that God shows us about the real meaning behind the events in world history and in human affairs. So in the days ahead, I hope to be looking more closely at this whole business of Freemasonry and getting at the bottom of some important ideas, both for you and for me, because this is basically a time when we're going to learn together. Because I'm not an expert in that area. I know the basic things about it that I believe biblically, but I want to learn more in order that you and I might be protected from a lot of misinformation and a lot of deception in the days that seem to be unfolding as we move toward what many people seem to suspect at this juncture could be a climactic time in the history of this planet. There are all kinds of other interesting things we're going to take a look at in the news today throughout the morning. And then, of course, Bill Barnstead is hopefully going to be on from Boston at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. My old friend Mazen Kumsaye, who at one time was connected with the Yale University School of Medicine, he is an Arab-Palestinian activist living in the United States. He keeps me abreast of a number of interesting situations that are well worth your time and mine. And Mason sends me a most fascinating link, which I hope to post later at Breaking All the Rules News, dealing with Senator John Edwards. You know, we talked about Edwards on this show before, both related to his recent appearance at the Herzliya conference in Israel, where he seemed to bend over backwards to show that he was even more pro-Israel than Hillary Clinton. And when Hillary Clinton appeared at that same conference, and when she later spoke to IPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee in this country, she again was trying to demonstrate that she was the most pro-Israel candidate in the Democratic Party running for president. And this is going to be a real game in the days that lie ahead in both of the major parties. I don't think one has to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on here. But at any rate, Mazen Kumsaye sends me a video, a URL for a video. I hope to get this posted later at Breaking All the Rules News. And it's entitled, Edwards Won't Acknowledge Israeli Nukes. This video is at a place called WashingtonStakeout.com. It's a very lengthy URL, so I won't read it over the air. But there is, in this video, the depiction of an interview, apparently, between a guy named Sam Husseini and John Edwards. And this particular transcript of a segment of that interview is absolutely revealing in terms of the doublespeak that is coming forth from a number of our major figures in Washington, D.C., and the way in which the conventional American media allows these folks to escape the obvious truths related to Israel and what is going on in the Middle East and the control that the Israeli lobby has of the American political scene. We'll be back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all... They're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Hopefully around 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time, we'll be joined by Bill Barnstead. He is the ex-head of the Boston Republican Party. I'm going to ask Bill some questions, if we're able to link up with him from Boston this morning, about why he left the Republican Party and the way he perceives the present scene in this country. And what some of his articles at Lou Rockwell's archives have to say about the plight that you and I find ourselves in as we seem to be moving toward an absolutely apocalyptic situation that we need, obviously, first and foremost, to turn over to God. We need to have closer relationships with our family members and friends in these dark times. But politically and culturally, what are the options that America First conservatives have in regard to this present situation? I don't pretend to have the answer to that. I don't know if my guests will have any answers, but we'll find out, hopefully, a little bit after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. But I want to get back to this whole business of John Edwards. He won't acknowledge that the government of Israel has nuclear weapons, according to this video that Mason Kumsey has sent me today. This video can be found at WashingtonStakeout.com, but it's a very long URL. And I'll post it later, hopefully, in the next day or so at Breaking All the Rules News. But here's the transcript. A guy named Sam Husseini is talking to John Edwards, and Mr. Husseini says to Edwards, Senator, let's have a follow-up on Iran. You said that they should be negotiating, but you've also said at the Herzliya Security Conference in Israel that all options should be on the table. Isn't that an implied threat that violates international law? That's part one. John Edwards' response, oh no, far from it. I think that this is a situation with Iran where the use of diplomacy and the smart use of diplomacy has a significant chance of success. There is no way to know ultimately whether it will be successful without doing it, but we need to do it in a very thoughtful and smart way. We need to engage our European allies and the European banking institutions. Well, that's an interesting one, isn't it, folks? The European banking institutions, so that we can put maximum economic pressure on the Iranians. And we need to do everything in our power to get the Russians and the Chinese to participate. That will be more difficult than the Europeans. Then Sam Husseini follows. Senator, you also said at that same conference, quote, once Iran goes nuclear, other nations in the Middle East will go nuclear, making Israel's neighborhood much more volatile, unquote. Senator Edwards, doesn't Israel have nuclear weapons? And doesn't that create volatility? And doesn't it cause resentment? That's part one. Doesn't Israel's possession cause volatility? And part two, doesn't the U.S. cause resentment by not acknowledging it? The U.S. government has never acknowledged that Israel has a massive nuclear arsenal, which it does. John Edwards, what I believe, and what I believe most thoughtful people believe, is that Iran having a nuclear weapon and having a proliferation of nuclear weapons throughout the Middle East, because the odds are high that if Iran goes nuclear, that the Saudis will go nuclear, the Egyptians will go nuclear, the Jordanians may go nuclear, is not a good thing in the most volatile region of the world, which is why we need to use a thoughtful diplomatic process to deal with this issue in Iran. Sam Husseini then follows, but Senator Edwards, you are not acknowledging that Israel has nuclear weapons? Senator, you're not acknowledging that Israel has nuclear weapons? John Edwards, excuse me, I can't hear him. I'm sorry. Sam Husseini, Senator, in your answer, you didn't acknowledge that Israel has nuclear weapons. Doesn't that cause more resentment? Senator, it's an empirical question. Senator, John Edwards, excuse me, I can't hear him. I'm sorry. John Edwards has a sudden inability to hear the person interviewing him right at the precise moment that the question of Israel's possession of nuclear weapons moves into the public forum, and a senior United States senator who is running for president of the United States is simply asked to go on record as acknowledging something that is known throughout the world. Folks, clearly, when you look at this, this is not only a statement about John Edwards, it's a statement about the Democratic Party, it's a statement about the Republican Party in regard to the same sorts of games being played, and obviously it's a very dreadful situation in regard to the U.S. government, which is saying that in effect Israel can be a nuclear and biological and chemical military power in that region of the world, but that everyone else that we believe has to play by the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, will be asked to do so. Clearly, it creates a credibility problem. And it's my own personal belief that if we were in a situation where Israel was held to the same standard in this area as every other government in that region, and of course we have not held India or Pakistan to the standard either that we are insisting of Iran, but if we did hold all of these other nations to the standard that we are asking of Iran, especially Israel, and we're also trying to broker an honest deal with the Palestinians, we might discover something, that we would all be better off. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Have you heard of the universal antidote for poisoning? If you were thinking activated charcoal, you're right. Emergency wards around the world use activated charcoal as the antidote of choice for hundreds of poisons and as a detox for drug overdose. Because activated charcoal is rated safe and effective by the FDA, you can give it to your family, your pets, or livestock with no worry of negative side effects. If you have acid reflux, an infected wound, a spider bite, want to lower cholesterol, or control bad odors, activated charcoal is a safe, natural remedy. To learn more, visit buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Buyactivatedcharcoal.com carries a wide range of activated charcoal products. Come visit us at www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. That's www.buyactivatedcharcoal.com. Or give us a call at 1-888-264-5568. Activated charcoal, a supernatural remedy for the 21st century.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Hope to hook up with Bill Barnstead of Boston shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. Bill is formerly with the Republican Party in Boston. He was formerly the head of it, and he has departed that organization, and he's got an archive at lourockwell.com. that I'll try to get linked up with later to Breaking All the Rules News, but I hope to have a good conversation with Bill at that juncture to really get at the bottom of some of the things that are appearing in our headlines and why he left the Republican Party, which, of course, was a decision that I made almost 11 years ago. It'll be 11 years ago this August that I jumped ship out in San Diego, California, and have not regretted it. I can't tell you that I've necessarily found an earth-shattering solution to the problems that existed in this country at that time that are even worse today. But suffice it to say, at least I've figured out finally what the solution was not. Before I take a caller, I want to draw your attention to a story that's taken place in northwest Iran. I found this at Iran Focus. It is a byline from Tehran, dated today, March 1st. Remember how I've been talking repeatedly on this show as one who lived in Iran over 30 years ago, that there were certain provinces where you could simply watch the activities and tell that something was afoot. We isolated Azerbaijan in northwestern Iran as one place to watch. Clearly, Khuzestan province, which has a large ethnically Arab population in southwestern Iran, and where you have the center of Iran's oil-producing capability, is another place to keep an eye on. Balochistan province in the southeastern part of Iran is yet another one that comes up. Lo and behold, once again, we see today, coming from Tehran, a byline that indicates that there's more trouble in northwest Iran. Clashes erupted in northwest Iran between security forces and rebels, leaving more than 20 people dead, state media reported on Thursday. At least 17 rebels were killed in the clashes in West Azerbaijan province near the border with Turkey. Local Revolutionary Guards Commander Colonel Jalil Babzadeh told the official news agency IRNA that four members of the security forces were also killed. The reports did not clarify when the clashes took place or which group the rebels belonged to. However, the Kurdish group Pejak, P-E-J-A-K, keep an eye on that one, folks. This is an organization that is generally believed to be working very, very closely with both Western and Israeli intelligence. The Kurdish group Pejak, P-E-J-A-K, has engaged in armed activity against the government in recent months. On Saturday, the Revolutionary Guards announced that it had killed another 17 rebels in the region. There you have it. The Kurdish group Pejak, P-E-J-A-K, is not absolutely confirmed as being behind this clash, but they have emerged in recent months in operations against Iran, particularly in northwestern Iran, that suggests that outside forces are involved in this whole situation. Turkey, the U.S., Britain, Israel, take your pick, but it quite clearly is the case that some things are happening in Iran, and in this particular instance, Azerbaijan, that have outside hands clearly stirring the pot. Keep an eye on it, folks, because it dovetails with these recent reports of American naval activity taking place in the Persian Gulf with the deployment of major aircraft carrier task force groups. It also dovetails with an escalation of the rhetoric, and we'll see where it heads in the days ahead. Bob in Texas, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, Bob.
Morning, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good, sir.
You know, you were talking about your guest that you're going to have on, this guy Tolawi.
Well, I have had him. I mean, he has been on my show in the past, and but he's now going to have his own show at RBN, which is going to start Saturday, this coming Saturday. And I guess Dr. Tolawi is going to be on from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, both through the RBN website as well as on the international shortwave at 5050. So you can catch him there on Saturdays with RBN. You can also find Hesham's own show, which is a television show online, at currentissues.tv. But that's the gentleman.
Well, I'll tell you, I've viewed several of his videos on Google, and he does some very interesting interviews with some very interesting people. And a lot of times you might think that their theories are out there a little bit unless you have a pretty good historical background, and you find that these people have done a tremendous amount of research. There's a Michael Tazarian, and he isn't of the Christian persuasion. Matter of fact, you know, he perceives it as somewhat of a problem. But when you get past your own religious prejudices and look at the information itself and just go by the historical content of what he has to say, you can see that we have a major problem. It extends further than what we perceive as a sometimes possibly limited to Masonic problem or Jewish problem or Vatican problem. What we're failing to see is that they're all the same. And you know, like the mafia, they call them the family. Well, that's because they are. They're the family, just like the Vatican and just like the Israelis and just like the Masonics. They're all in it together. You know, a lot of perfect examples appear and then disappear. There was a guy by the name of Maurice de Hirsch back in 1887 that set up a trust fund in New York that he put $50 million in. And that was back in the old days when it was gold and silver and it was real money, and $50 million was like a billion. And that money was purposed to help Russian Jews migrate to Palestine. Now, this is long before the Holocaust. This is long before World War I. This is even before the first Zionist convention, 10 years before it. So, you know, in 1887, you have this guy setting up a huge trust fund in New York, and it was called something like the Israelite Universal. And then 10 years later, you have Herzl that holds a conference in Basel, Switzerland, where they organize, and that's probably where the Protocols of the Elders of Zion originated, because it was their it's a blueprint, and it doesn't matter who's orchestrating it, it's happening, and we're living with it. And then, you know, they change our money system, and the whole international system goes on to this credit system. And if people understood this credit system, a perfect example of this is this. If you take $100,000 in Federal Reserve notes down to the bank and you put it in there, that gives the bank the opportunity under fractional reserve banking to loan out a million. Well, the same thing, exact same thing happens when you fill out a loan application and sign a promissory note. You're sticking, it's called a security, and it goes into their asset side of their ledger. So the bottom line is, we've got a cabal that originated in Babylon and has called itself by different names and identifies itself as these different entities so that we are unable to focus on the fact that they're all the same. You know, everybody picks their favorite. I was raised a Catholic, so it would be, you know, my first inclination to say, oh, no, the Pope couldn't do this. You know, or if I was a young kid and I joined DeMolay and I grew up and became a Mason and all that, I would have to say, well, you know, we're a philanthropic group. We like to ride around little cars and donate to hospitals.
Yeah, and you know, isn't it interesting, Bob, that when I was growing up and was a member of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, of course, the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church historically has opposed its members belonging to any Masonic organizations. And we were simply told, and I think correctly told, that it was a secret society, that it that was the first problem. The second problem was that there were religious rites and practices associated with this group that did not worship the triune God of Scripture. That was the Lutheran position, the Orthodox Lutheran position. And that it, you know, was not on those two grounds alone was something that we should stay away from. And so my family did. But, you know, the interesting thing is that when you talk to so many people who belong to the Masonic Lodge, and I'm not talking about high-ranking members. I'm talking about folks who for whatever reason, have had a loose affiliation or a family tie to it for many years and who don't appear to be that directly involved in its activities, whether they are being untruthful about this or simply don't know through ignorance, this business of secret societies, religious rites, and the activities of Freemasonry that are alleged to involve the world banking system and political activities around the world, that's routinely pretty much denied, and the context in which I was always talked to about Freemasonry growing up by people who believed in it was that it was a philanthropic fraternal organization, and that's all it was.
Well, you know, Mark, it's kind of funny that you brought that up. I was brought up Catholic, but my sister was doing a deep genealogical research, and she found that our ancestors had come from Germany as mercenaries to fight against Washington, but they jumped ship and went ahead and fought for Washington. And the bottom line is they were all Lutherans. And she had found a Lutheran church with a Lutheran cemetery behind it, and about 75% of the people had my last name, which is a real odd last name. And it was just really funny that at some point in time they had converted to Catholicism. And, you know, it was like a reversion of some sort back to Catholicism, and at one point in time they had changed to Lutheranism. But the bottom line of all of it is, we as a people, if we want to survive, and if we have to stop accepting any fraud whatsoever, and I mean any fraud, whether it's our monetary system, you know, we were born into it, we didn't vote for it, we didn't sign up for it, we just happened to be born after it happened. And so, you know, a bunch of crooks got together, took some graft, and passed a law that allowed a private entity to take over what the government should be doing. And it really doesn't matter, I don't think, so much that we have a gold or silver standard, but it matters that we have interest-free money created by our government and controlled by the government and not by a private banking firm or entity. That is the most dangerous thing that's going on in this country today, is the money system. Because what it does is it perpetuates indebtedness, and it violates biblical principle. God said, don't be having no unequal measures in your purse. But we have an inflatable and deflatable currency that we walk around with in our purse.
And, you know, just to affirm what you're talking about, Bob, and this is a conversation I'd really like to stay with for a moment this morning. I am not an economist, and I think my one course in economics was in high school in Dayton, Ohio. I mean, that's how, in terms of formal economic education, one could consider me to be a pygmy. And yet the other night when I was working my way through Aaron Russo's DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, this whole thing of money supply that you cite here, which he cites as well in the DVD, the expansion of money supply or the contraction of money supply, and who it is that has the power to expand it or to contract it, it seems to me that that is a very understandable economic and political principle that involves who it is that has the power to control a country and an entire society.
Well, I'm reading a book right now called Real Money Versus False Money, and it was written by a guy named T. Cushing Daniels. And he goes back to just after the Civil War when the European bankers started infiltrating our government and bribing officials to put into place this Federal Reserve System that we have today. And this was a long, ongoing process. It took some time because there were still some people that had an awareness of what real money is and what is called account money. Account money is a completely different beast than real money. And what it does is it affords the opportunity, like we see today, George Bush spending $500 billion in a matter of 3 or 4 years to fight a minor enemy, Iraq. But if you can create the money out of thin air, all you have to be concerned with is inflation, and inflation is just another form of tax. And the people are deprived of seeing any sort of a gain on their labor. You know, from the time this country was established until around 1913, when they established this phony banking system, this country didn't have inflation. None. A $20 gold piece in 1776 was still a $20 gold piece in 1900, and it had the same purchasing power. But as soon as we put this fake money into play, we were bankrupt by 33. 20 years, they bankrupted the country, and we've been operating in a bankruptcy ever since.
Yes, and when you get into that type of thing, you can see very clearly the way in which all of this plays into domestic and international political events with the greatest of implications, and you start talking about the role that this central banking system plays in the control of the political process and the control of politicians in that process. And it's reached a point to me, just looking at our own government, just for the sake of boiling this down to its essence, when you look at the Republican and Democratic parties today, and just look at the composition of those two parties on Capitol Hill alone, it seems to me that Ron Paul, the Republican congressman from the 14th Congressional District here in Texas, that he's his own man, and there may be several other people in the House and the Senate that I'm not aware of. but seriously, I mean, I look at this thing. I'm not aware of anybody in the U.S. Senate, for example. You got 100 seats there that is not bought off by this. Now, maybe there's an exception, and I'm misspeaking, but it sure looks that way to me. And in the House of Representatives, other than Ron Paul and maybe one or two other people on either side of the aisle I haven't thought of in the House, this thing otherwise is absolutely bought and paid for.
Yeah, I would have to tell you, Mark, that if there was a handful, there's four of them I don't know about. Ron Paul is probably the only congressperson that votes constitutionally every time. I don't know of another one. I mean, there's a lot of people. You know, I used to be a bircher, and they would give us a document that said this guy's 88% constitutional, this guy's 75%, and they would rate each individual congressperson, and Ron Paul's the best.
Bob, stay on the line if you get a chance.
Sure.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We hope to be hooked up with Bill Barnstead of Boston shortly after 8 o'clock this morning, Central Standard Time. Tomorrow I've got a couple of interesting guests on this show. In the first hour of the show, I'm going to have a lady named Jeannie Chansey on, who is with an organization called, I believe, Ladies Against Feminism. I think that's the name of the organization. I'll have to go back and check it once again. But it's a fascinating organization in regard to some of the things that they say and believe in regard to the corrosive impact of feminism in American culture. That I'm sure will be a somewhat controversial topic, but she seems like a very nice person. And I want to examine some of her ideas a little bit more closely tomorrow morning from 7 to 8 a.m. And then beginning at 8 a.m., I have been put on to a very interesting guest by Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross. And this person's name is Nahla Al-Aryan. Her husband, as I understand it, is in jail in this country, having been accused of terroristic activities in his role as a professor of a university down in South Florida. Many of you may remember when that item was in the national press. I'm going to have Nahla on tomorrow to discuss the specifics of her husband's case and what she believes about him and about their relationship and about their role in this country that has not been reported in the corporate press. And we want to give her an opportunity to chat about some of these things from 8 o'clock Central Time tomorrow. Hopefully for at least an hour, maybe 2 hours. We'll see how it goes. But this will get into a much larger issue related to the constitutional and civil rights of all Americans, it seems to me. And that's going to be a topic that will open up, I'm sure, a can of worms on the air as we continue to discuss what is and is not permissible constitutionally in regard to the sorts of activities that were directed against this woman's husband, that many would argue could be directed against you or me as law-abiding American citizens tomorrow if we happen not to have the political views that the establishment wants us to have. But back to this conversation with Bob. We were talking about this whole thing of money supply, Bob.
Yeah, let me tell you what this – I read an affidavit that was submitted in a court that was trying to determine the liability of a borrower – from a bank, and they had called in as an expert witness this guy that had been a 20-year Federal Reserve lawyer and representative of the Federal Reserve. And what he basically said in the summary of his affidavit was, what people think takes place when they go in and fill out a credit application and sign a promissory note, let's say for a mortgage, is exactly the opposite of what they thought occurred. They thought they went in and borrowed $300,000, and what they actually did was put $300,000 on the bank's books. Because the promissory note is a security. It's a negotiable instrument. And
Bob, I've got to take a break, but stay on the line with this. This is Mark Gancos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. Be right back with you, Bob.